thanks for joining us this morning. Before we introduce our guest today, we want to get an update on the Bighorn Fire from the fire personnel, Coronado Forest. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
Yes, I can.
How's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Tell us what's going on with the fire. What do we need to know?
Okay. So at this time, the fire is 90% contained. The public should continue to expect some smoke in the wilderness area. There are still firefighters in the area conducting fire suppression operations to measure the values at risk. We continue to urge the public to adhere to the closure order for their safety and the safety of first responders. This closure, it's scalable, and we continue to assess it and adjust it accordingly. It is important to know that the Forest Service only has jurisdiction over National Forest System lands, and we cannot close Mount Lemon Highway. So once Pima County deems it's safe to transit Mount Lemon Highway, the public will be allowed to visit the Summer Haven community and continue to support the businesses in the area. The National Forest System lands adjacent to Summer Haven will remain closed. The closure order and a map are available online on the Coronado National Forest website. And one last thing, we know that people are very curious about what the area looks like, but we can't stress enough to stay away from the barren area for their safety and the safety of first responders. Flash floods do happen suddenly, so we're encouraging the public to stay very cognizant about the weather conditions and the emergency alerts issued by Pima County. Thank you.
Very cool. Yeah, they're asking everybody stay off the hill until they open it, and they'll make announcements on every media site, I'm sure, saying it's okay to go up there, but right now it's really not.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. Okay, our guest today is calling in from Oregon. Actually, I just a few minutes ago moved him to California, but he's really in Oregon. And his name is Jeff Teagues. Jeff, let's hear all about you. Tell us your background.
Good morning, Sherry. Thanks a lot for having me on. We first connected a couple months ago, and man, has a lot happened since then, huh?
Yeah, I know, really.
So I joined the military straight out of high school back in 1987. For those of you that are doing the math, yes, I'm an old man. So I spent about 5 years enlisted in the 1st Ranger Battalion, and I first cut my teeth on combat when we invaded Panama back in 1989. So we've hit that 30th anniversary this past year. And then I had a break in service where I went to college. I ended up graduating from Montana State and got commissioned as an officer. And from there, I went to the 2nd Ranger Battalion up in Washington and then moved into Special Forces. I went to 10th Special Forces Group, and that was around the time when the war kicked off in 2003 in Iraq. And then after a few years with 10th Special Forces Group, I went to a special missions unit that focuses on counterterrorism. People know it as the 1st Special Forces Operational Detachment Delta. And then I was there on and off, as officers do, different things for about 10 years, retiring in 2015, and then picked up the role as the Chief Operating Officer with Guardian Group, where what I did in the military as a Special Forces officer, I feel like I am still doing to this day, just fighting a different enemy, building teams, and trying to solve a difficult problem that we have in the world, and even specifically in the United States.
Tell everybody about the Guardian Group, when it was established, why it was established, because I think what you guys are doing is awesome. I totally endorse this.
Thanks, Sherry. Well, my partner, the CEO, Jeff Keith, him and his wife were in India on a missions trip, and they saw sex trafficking firsthand. You can only imagine the level of that industry in India. And when they came home, they felt moved and called to stop what it was they were doing with their lives and really address this problem. And Shannon started up a business that's now a B Corporation called Sudara, where women that are escaped or recovered from sex trafficking in India are able to have a new life and earn a living wage creating these beautiful clothes. And when Jeff came back, his idea was the same as mine, even though we were separated from one coast to the other, that why are we trying to fix problems overseas when they're right here in our own communities? And as luck would have it, as I was building out this idea on how I thought we should tackle sex trafficking in America, I just happened to meet Jeff literally on a back porch patio, drinking a beer and having a barbecue at a friend of ours' retirement. And when we started talking, we found that we had identical ideas on how to tackle this problem of sex trafficking. And he had already established Guardian Group as a nonprofit. So then there, I threw my hat in the ring. He offered the position as the chief operating officer. Where we live in Oregon fits what my wife and I wanted to retire to and continue raising our sons, a beautiful kind of small mountain town. And we've been working for the last 5 years to try to develop a national network to combat sex trafficking. Very specifically, we look at the escort ads and identify minors and victims that are being sold online.
Okay, since Backpage has been shut down, what have you seen transpiring and what creative means have these people come up with?
So it's interesting. One thing that the listeners have to understand straight away, when we're talking about this crime, they have to bury some of the emotion. They have to think about this from a real pragmatic point of view, that this is a business. This is an industry. Now, again, the disgusting thing is what's being sold are men, women, boys, and girls. But when Backpage was shut down, that was an incredible blow to the underground sex economy. It's complicated. It had a lot of different effects. And one of those effects is that it became much harder to identify minors online, because Backpage had a process and a system that they would identify minors. There were code words and clues, and that's really what they got in trouble for. I understand. I'm not part of that case. I don't know if the case is still going, but from what I understand, they were knowingly selling minors on their site, and that's what really got them in hot water.
They were enabling, yeah.
They were certainly enabling, but there was processes, and it's this interesting dynamic where you have an organization like Backpage that's knowingly selling minors, and yet they were also pretty cooperative with law enforcement when it came time for them to send in subpoenas and warrants for information. So there was two sides of that coin. Now, when Backpage was shut down, I'm telling you, there were a few months in there where hundreds of thousands of children avoided being raped because the industry was in disarray. And then it began to pop up again. And what the people started doing, traffickers started doing, these people that are selling prostitutes, they took their sites and they're hosting them offshore. So now they're hosting them overseas so that the United States FOSTA-SESTA laws do not apply to them. So there is no one organization, company like Backpage that has the corner on the market. It's now 4, 5, 10 different escort sites that are still scrambling for the market. So it's made hunting and the predators and trying to identify the victims a lot more difficult. But I don't want anyone to understand that I'm disappointed Backpage is shut down. Ultimately, there will be a new Backpage. Somebody will get the bulk of the market and rise to be as powerful and make as much revenue as Backpage did, but we haven't seen that to date.
I know the Department of Homeland Security recently did an arrest of some local people who were using international means to continue with their sex trafficking. And I think that's part of the thing. I know from local law enforcement, that was the first I heard of it, was interviewing local law enforcement. They said, yeah, these people are right here in Arizona, but they're using what seems to be, you know, China or the UK, and it's hard to get after them, but they're right here. We know they're right here. So that's something that the Homeland Security went after them and arrested a whole bunch of people. Actually, they're in Texas. And I thought, you know, yay, hats off to you. You know, you're doing what we need to be done. in stopping all this?
Yeah, Department of Homeland Security is doing a great job. There's so many different angles to this crime and aspects to it. And one of the ones that they're really doing a good job is the Internet Crimes Against Children, which people probably have heard of, ICAC. And that's child pornography. That is images and videos of children being sexually abused, raped online, and that is sold. It's a different crime than what we're looking at with Guardian Group. We are looking at the physical exchange. Now, I'm not saying that these predators that look at child pornography don't put hands on, because they do. I think the statistic is somewhere between 60-70% of these people that view child pornography put hands on children. But when they're getting busted, quite often it's because of what you're saying. It's the international movement of these images and these videos online. Where we're different, and quite honestly, one of the reasons that we don't look at child pornography is I don't want to. You know, I've spent my life, you know, looking at difficult things and digging into difficult things, and I don't want to see that type of thing. So while we see things that are gross and horrific, I do not want to delve into child pornography, and we also want to go directly to what we know is hands-on. I mean, in these escort sites, which are accessible from any county, city, town in America, you can order a girl, that is an exchange. You are purchasing a human being for a sex act.
Yeah.
And when it's a minor, okay, I have no room for that. There's discussions about prostitution and two legal adults, you know, exchanging money for sex. That's called prostitution. But when it's a minor, that's trafficking. If that girl is forced or if something is fraudulent, then that's trafficking also. So for the listeners, the difference between prostitution and trafficking is, by law, force, fraud, or coercion. You have to demonstrate one of those elements. So if the person is under 18, it's automatic trafficking, which is another reason why we focus on the minors. It's a much easier case for law enforcement and the legal system to prosecute. If she's under 18, you are a trafficker. Yeah. If you're just a pimp and you are prostituting women, then it's a much more difficult case to demonstrate force, fraud, and coercion, and they very often just get charged with lesser crimes. But make no mistake, a pimp is a trafficker is a pimp. Because if you think about a pimp and how he controls the women in his life, the girls, the stable, they call it, do you think he uses force, fraud, and coercion?
Of course.
Of course he does. It's just when in that timeline are the good guys, Guardian Group, law enforcement, former Homeland Security, some other organization, able to interdict and try to disrupt this illicit business?
Okay. I'm going to tell our listeners, if you have any questions, the number is 790-2040, and we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few. Law Matters Live Show airs Saturday mornings at 8, when our listeners ask questions of people who have answers. On our next show, Kim Challender will update us on what to do and expect with this year's election. This is your show, Arizona, so get your questions ready to join the talk at 790-2040. You don't want to be left out. Set your alarm for AM 1030 The Voice. And we can't do the show without your support. Please go to lawmatters1030.org to contribute.
To report suspected human trafficking, please call the National Human Trafficking Resource Center at 1-888-373-7888 or text HELP or INFO to 233-733. To learn more about Homeland Security investigations and our efforts to combat human trafficking, please visit our website at www.ice.gov or check out the DHS Blue Campaign at www.dhs.gov/bluecampaign. For more information on the Southern Arizona Anti-Trafficking Unified Response Network, please visit us at www.saturn.org or find us on Facebook.
Getting a reverse mortgage with the new rules and expanded limits can be a positive, life-changing experience. The reverse offers multiple ways of having your equity work for you, from a monthly income, an interest-bearing equity account, or a total cash out. Give me a call and let's see which reverse option best works for your future plans. Call 520-310-9900. Ask for me, Sherry. That's 520-310-9900.
The FBI will train its national and international law enforcement partners on indicators of human trafficking throughout the year, which marks the 20th anniversary of the Trafficking Victims Protection Act. The act provides tools to combat trafficking worldwide and requires the FBI to collect data on the crime. All 56 of the FBI's field offices have ongoing human trafficking investigations, more than 1,900 cases. That's an increase in the number of cases over the past several years. Deputy Director David Bowditch.
Most of the cases we see, roughly 90%, are commercial sex trafficking, and they're amongst the most heinous crimes that the FBI encounters.
The FBI's Victim Services Division ensures that survivors have access to emotional support, social services, and medical care.
We have to speak for the victims.
If you are a victim of human trafficking, call or text the National Human Trafficking Resource Center hotline at 888-373-7888. With FBI This Week, I'm Molly Halpern of the Bureau.
Thanks for staying with us. Our guest today is Jeff Teagues. He's calling in from Oregon, and he represents the Guardian Group. How can our listeners get involved with your organization? I don't mean go out, you know, cloak and dagger type stuff. How can they help support you?
Well, first off, those were awesome commercials that you had. That was a ton of information that you just passed in a matter of seconds. And what I think is really interesting is what those commercials were the public efforts, FBI, DHS, National Human Trafficking Center. Those are public efforts nationally funded to combat sex trafficking. And groups like Guardian Group are a private organization, a 501c3 nonprofit that brings a bunch of the other aspects to attacking this crime to bear. Just like, you know, the aftercare side of it. Once these victims are pulled out of this crime and offered a different path to freedom, that is a long journey to healing. So this public-private partnership, I think, is a really interesting idea that we've been looking at for years. And all of the unrest that we're feeling today and this idea that we're going to either defund or reallocate dollars from the police suits this concept of a public-private partnership. Getting back to your question, Sherry,
no, that's is, okay.
But as a private entity, though, we need that support. The biggest gap that Guardian Group has simply is the funding. We have very low overhead when it comes to our operational costs. What we are designed to do is bring in intelligence analysts and operators from special forces that are moving into retirement and giving them, reinvesting in them, because our country has already invested a lot of money to create this special forces soldier and in the intel world and in the operations world. And when those men and women retire, I want them to be able to live in a place they want to live in America, tackle this problem of sex trafficking, and help us solve this. So our biggest gap right now really is just the funding side of it. The next side of it, in addition to bringing on more people, is building some more of these technology solutions. These traffickers that are selling humans, girls and boys online, are pretty savvy when it comes to technology. And all of the things that are out there, like facial recognition and artificial intelligence and machine learning, all of those have an aspect. But for Guardian Group to be as efficient as we can, in addition to the humans that we need to build out our staff, these pros that have this experience, we also have some technology solutions that we need to tailor. And that's going to be that magical solution when the human element, the technology element, the public-private sector are all synced with kind of a campaign to combat sex trafficking in America. We're going to see some really great effects.
Can you tell our listeners what they're looking for? I think sometimes people are looking at a situation just not really recognizing it for what it really is. So there are red flags that, you know, everybody should be aware of. Can you tell us about those?
Yes, and it's really difficult. So I, you know, what one thing that I want to say, and we talked about it, and we can repeat it at the end. And anybody listening to this, we want to give them access to this advanced online course that we've just built. We haven't released it yet. We will release it in August. But hopefully we can get that information out to your listeners. And that goes into greater detail on what to look for. Because the problem when it comes to sex trafficking is there are a lot of false negatives. You know, like one of the things that we do is we train hotels to try to spot sex trafficking. But imagine an older man who's walking into a hotel with his niece, you know, and they're holding hands. And does it look inappropriate? You know, how terrible is that when you jump to suspecting that this guy is a trafficker or this is an incident? I would say the biggest thing that you can identify with sex trafficking is the lack of eye contact with the victim. And it's not just a lack of confidence or self-esteem in a young lady. It is literally beaten in her not to make eye contact with another male, because the trafficker wants complete control over his victims. And when she doesn't even make eye contact with another male, he feels much more confident that he has her under control. So it's not just the shy thing like you see often with young women. It's really overtly looking down to the ground, to the left or the right, and not looking you in the face. And you will see that when you approach a girl, and if you ask her if she's okay, or if law enforcement makes a traffic stop and there's a girl in the car, or a hotelier who suspects something, if they're with the pimp, it is almost a given that they will not look you in the eyes and directly respond. Now, what's difficult is the other aspect of this crime is what they call the bottom. And that is the woman that is in direct support of the pimp. She's like the second in command. And she is often pretty brash and pretty bold. And instead of often these days, you're not seeing the pimp traveling with the victim, you're seeing the bottom traveling. So you have to be able to recognize the dynamics. The woman that's out front and she's the one that's doing the transaction, you have more of this demure younger girl in kind of in the background. So even as I tell this indicator to you, Sherry, you know, you can see how many false positives would come up with just this simple one.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? With the Maxwell being arrested this past week or so, I was watching The View yesterday, and Sunny, I don't know her last name, but she's a former prosecutor. Her response regarding the Maxwell was grooming these girls was shock. And she said, well, we just don't see this. This doesn't happen. And I'm like, where have you been? You're a former prosecutor. You know, yeah, this has been happening for a long time. And I think people who really want to know more, not just taking your class, but there are some movies out there that really tell a grim story. And it's unfortunate that these stories are true or based on true stories. The I Am Jane Doe, the movie Trafficked, that one really made me mad. And I know the ContraLandMovie.com, you can go there and watch that movie. Craig made that movie available to the public. And just watching that documentary with Jeff Epstein documentary, you can see these girls are sincere. They were trafficked. They were groomed. And they were groomed by a female. It's not always that big bad guy. It's this female did this to these girls. And they trusted her. So there's a lot of things that you can do to open your eyes about the situation. But I hear people go, yeah, I know it's happening, but I don't want to watch that. Well,
yeah. And it's a double-edged sword when you think of things like Epstein and Maxwell, and even some of these documentaries and shows that talk about the international sex trade. So yes, it does happen where some international sex traffickers kidnap your child and move them overseas. And yes, there are boys, girls, and women coming overseas and getting smuggled into the United States, but it is a tiny, tiny percentage. You're talking all of that combined, less than 10% of this crime. 80 to 90% of the victims in America are homegrown American girls. So, and the other side of it too is while the Epstein case is a perfect example, and this idea with Maxwell, there is always a female involved, always. There is always a female involved because of the dynamics that you're talking about. And quite often, the female is even more diabolical than the male pimp, because they're the ones that are really oftentimes the enforcer, the physical, the emotional, the psychological punishment and manipulation on these girls. They're the recruiters. They're the groomers. So when we think of the Epstein case and some of these different movies that are out there, that is all fact.
Yeah.
But this crime is not for the rich and famous, okay? There are 150,000 new sex ads a day in America, new ones. There are millions of sex ads that are sitting out there every day in America, and this is not for the rich and famous. They when they do kind of a profile on these buyers, there is no demographic that stands out. There is really no economic difference. I mean, there's a correlation with guys that make more than $100,000, $110,000. They buy more prostitutes than other folks because they have more disposable dollars. But this crime is in every city, and it's not foreign girls. They want American girls. They want to separate them from their families. They want to groom them and pull them away from the things that make them who they are and control them and sell them for sex. So people should not look at the Epstein case and some of these other cases that are out there like the rich and famous. That's the tip of the iceberg, and it makes the news because they're rich and famous.
Right.
This is happening right next door.
And some of the people that have been caught facilitating, you know, buying these girls, you'd probably be a little shocked to find out what type of background they have. You're talking priests, you know, ministers, and people who we put our trust in. You know, then in one of the movies, it was a federal agent for the IRS. And, you know, you don't expect these people to be involved in something like this, but they are. And, you know, you can't just pinpoint and say, oh, it's just that fraction of society. No, it's people that you trust.
And it's every walk of life, like you said. And it's even more disgusting when it is these people that we trust, that are put in these positions, that we trust our children with. But, you know, one of the biggest things that they found too in these studies is one of the strongest things to deter men buying women for sex is for men like me and others to stand up and say, not cool, man. It's not normal. Okay. Buying a prostitute is not some rite of passage. Buying a prostitute is not something that you fully understand. These women, these girls are not doing this willingly. Okay. This idea of dependent is largely false. Now, there may be some sex workers out there that are calling BS on what I'm saying. Look, I got it. But also for those sex workers that are out there, they need to be honest with themselves and look at the journey in their life and what happened to them to make these decisions that you're going to sell your body to another man for sex. Almost to a person, there has been some level of abuse. And I'm not here to, you know, talk about prostitution or talk about sex work or legalizing it or making it, you know, higher sentences. We need to get the minors out of this. And men that are out there buying prostitutes, there are minors out there. There are minors trapped in this mix because we're buying sex. And the demand for pretty young girls is what these traffickers are trying to meet. So, you know, our concept, our motto of bringing the fight to sex trafficking is just that. We're soldiers, we're fighters, we're jujitsu practitioners, we're manly men that are standing up and saying, enough is enough. And we also do a lot of work to try to build the confidence and self-esteem in young women through self-defense courses and things like that. Because I'll tell you what, I'm not here to make everybody afraid. You know, they need to understand this crime is in their neighborhood.
Yes.
But I'll tell you also, a confident young woman is nearly immune to this. Because a trafficker and that bottom is not interested in putting the time into grooming a girl who is just self-confident and has high self-esteem. So this is an easy one, right? What's the biggest thing we can do? Build confidence and self-esteem in our young ladies and young boys.
Well, absolutely.
That's a mouthful, but it truly is the number one thing we can do to deter this crime.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few. Getting a reverse mortgage with the new rules and expanded limits can be a positive, life-changing experience. The reverse offers multiple ways of having your equity work for you, from a monthly income, an interest-bearing equity account, or a total cash out. Give me a call and let's see which reverse option best works for your future plans. Call 520-310-9900. Ask for me, Sherry. That's 520-310-9900.
The FBI will train its national and international law enforcement partners on indicators of human trafficking throughout the year, which marks the 20th anniversary of the Trafficking Victims Protection Act. The act provides tools to combat trafficking worldwide and requires the FBI to collect data on the crime. All 56 of the FBI's field offices have ongoing human trafficking investigations, more than 1,900 cases. That's an increase in the number of cases over the past several years. Deputy Director David Bowditch.
Most of the cases we see, roughly 90%, are commercial sex trafficking, and they're amongst the most heinous crimes that the FBI encounters.
The FBI's Victim Services Division ensures that survivors have access to emotional support, social services, and medical care.
We have to speak for the victims.
If you are a victim of human trafficking, call or text the National Human Trafficking Resource Center hotline at 888-373-7888. With FBI This Week, I'm Molly Halpern of the Bureau.
Law Matters Live Show airs Saturday mornings at 8 when our listeners ask questions of people who have answers. On our next show, Kim Challender will update us on what to do and expect with this year's election. This is your show, Arizona, so get your questions ready to join the talk at 790-2040. You don't want to be left out. Set your alarm for AM 1030 The Voice. And we can't do the show without your support. Please go to lawmatters1030.org to contribute.
To report suspected human trafficking, please call the National Human Trafficking Resource Center at 1-888-373-7888 or text HELP or INFO to 233-733. To learn more about Homeland Security investigations and our efforts to combat human trafficking, please visit our website at www.ice.gov or check out the DHS Blue Campaign at www.dhs.gov/bluecampaign. For more information on the Southern Arizona Anti-Trafficking Unified Response Network, please visit us at www.saturn.org or find us on Facebook.
Thanks for staying with us. Our guest is calling in from Oregon. His name is Jeff Teagues, and he's with the Guardian Group. If you have any questions, the number is 790-2040. Jeff, how has the COVID situation affected this industry?
I think we're going to know more here this fall. So COVID disrupted this industry in a major way in the major markets, places like New York City and the bigger cities. It got to a point high enough to where the buyers, the Johns we call them, that purchase sex, took a break with their hobby, with their habit. Okay, when this first started, it was amazing to watch how guys were just so brash. They didn't care. As they began to understand it really could be a life and death decision, those markets shut down quite a bit. In the smaller markets, in most of places in Arizona, in places up here in Oregon, we saw very little disruption to the market. The quantity of ads was the same. But what we also saw in those markets, the big markets and small markets, was the buyers were getting more violent. They were getting more abusive because they felt that because they were taking a risk with purchasing sex in the age of COVID, that they deserved more. They deserved cheaper prices. They deserved more degrading sex acts, and they thought they could get away being more abusive and violent. So the actual trauma to the victims was higher. And then the other piece of it, too, was the traffickers. They maintained the quotas that they wanted their girls to meet every week. And they also began to up their recruiting. So what happened during COVID, and is still happening to a large degree, is there are minors, boys and girls, trapped at home, and they're online. And what are our young people sharing online today?
Everything.
Everything. Everything. Not only locational data and things that they like and don't like. They're sharing their deepest feelings, their fears, their ambitions, things that they, when they have conflict with their parents or their friends. And these traffickers are out there constantly monitoring and looking for this weakness and this vulnerability. And that's, again, where I go back to, this isn't some sort of kidnapping coming in your window. This is a slow, methodical process where these traffickers separate these children from their protective group, family or friends or whatever it is. So a lot of these vulnerable did not have that protective network, and these predators were able to invade that safe space and reach them through the internet. And the recruiting and grooming that has been going on has been through the roof. And I think we're going to see, unfortunately, the deleterious effects of that this fall or when COVID begins to lift. There are going to be a lot of broken young people out there that were manipulated and abused. And we really need to double down on our efforts to combat this right now through the rest of the summer and into the fall. Or there are going to be some really long-lasting effects that will be difficult for us to come out from behind. But that really requires putting down some of the differences that we have politically, putting down some of the differences that we think how we've solved problems in the United States, and really focusing on this public-private partnership. We cannot sit on our hands. No. The worst of COVID as a disease, I think, is behind us. But the worst of COVID as effects on our society, I still think they're staring us in the face for the next few months.
Yeah, I think you're right. And people don't realize, you know, with the internet and gaming and all this stuff that kids can do, and some of the telephone apps that kids can download and, you know, hide, it's very difficult to be a parent right now. I'm glad my son is like 30 years old, because I don't have to worry about it anymore. But it's happening right under their noses. And I've had people tell me, oh, my kids live at home, I don't have to worry about this. That's so not true. Your child could be sex trafficked even though they're living at home.
You are correct. And just like you, that's one good thing that I think came out of that Epstein documentary, if you watched it. Those girls lived at home.
Yes.
And they went and they conducted sex acts and then they returned home. That is common. That happens all the time. Now, and you can imagine how easy that is to get away with a broken family, a family that, you know, is already not close and everyone's doing their own thing. But even in a family where you think you understand where your children are, you may not. Parents always ask us, like, what's the best thing to do, and canceling these apps, what are the worst apps? And it's like you were saying, it's an endless battle. There are always new apps coming out. There are always new ways, and the kids will outpace us. Okay, even the most technologically savvy adult is going to get passed by with a young person. It really is. You got to have these tough discussions. You've got to build this trust. You've got to have this open dialogue. You know, just like the birds and the bees talk, right? You got to talk to your kids about sex. Well, you also have to talk to your kids about sexual exploitation and what is out there, and helping them to feel safe if something goes wrong. Because one of the techniques that is hugely effective and really common with the traffickers is they get these children to just make a mistake, send a nude pic, or conduct some sort of illegal act. You know, maybe it's a sex act, maybe it's shoplifting, maybe it's something, but it's something where they start to dig into that young person's sense of shame. And once they have something that they can shame this young person over, they use that as leverage to get them to do more and more until that victim feels like there's just no way out.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And, you know, kids at that point, they're too afraid to go to their parent or an adult or somebody that would help them get out of the situation. And that's the thing, too. Some of these girls are in the situation. When help does arrive, they're afraid to take the help.
Well, and that's really, one of the things when we analyze this crime, Guardian Group, why we chose to do what we're doing. And the ad that you've been running from FBI, the gentleman's been talking about commercial sex trafficking. Commercial sex trafficking is a couple different things that can include massage parlors and residential brothels, but it largely is the online escort services. That is where the predominant place you can find minors for sale. And then specifically also this idea, man, here, I just totally lost my line of thought here. You were talking about,
About sometimes they're hesitant to take the help
yes.
that's offered to them.
I'm sorry.
That's
I'm
okay.
Sorry. Yeah. So yes. And that's where Guardian Group is that force multiplier, where what we have found also is when a cop conducts a sting and they offer this victim a way out, how can she take it if the predator is still out there?
Yeah.
You know, if the predator has threatened her and her family, one of their tactics is to literally have children with the victims. And then they have that mm-hmm. child as collateral. So the girl is out conducting sex acts for money, and her child is somewhere in the support network, either with the pimp or with the pimp's family or something. So when you approach this girl at a hotel, law enforcement, and say, "Miss, we understand what's happening with you. We want to offer you a way out." How in the world can she take that way out when her child is still trapped in this game?
Yeah.
Or her sister is trapped, or this guy knows everything about her family. So that is one of the things we are trying to shift the scales on, is when law enforcement conducts a sting, they have a good idea of who the predator is, who the trafficker is. So when they call that girl in to offer her a way out, they're also arresting the pimp at the same time, or arresting the bottom at the same time. Now, we don't have great metrics on this, but we think somewhere between 60 and 70%, you have a 60 to 70% more likely chance that if you arrest that predator, that victim will take you up on that offer to change her life, because it's now beginning to give her this sense of freedom. These guys, they still run their stables from jail. You know, so yes. and the average sentence for a pimp right now is 3 years, which they really do 18 months. So that's another dynamic that we've got to change. If a girl knows her trafficker is only going to jail for 18 months, again, how is she able to make this decision to change her life? They just feel so trapped. And we've got to change the sides of this equation. We got to put these traffickers away for a longer time. We've got to figure out who they are, and when law enforcement conducts these things, get them off the playing field. And then these girls will have a much more likely chance to change their lives.
And some of them are actually become addicted to drugs because of what they've been given. And how does that dynamic fit into the equation?
That's another fascinating dynamic, because it really comes down to the situation. So one of the things I think the listeners might be interested to hear is a lot of these girls are not hooked on drugs. And the reason they're not hooked on drugs is because the trafficker does not want to have to compete with a drug. He wants and needs complete control of that individual. Now, sometimes they will use drugs to elicit that control or enhance that control. They want to be the drug dealer, you know, and quote unquote reward the girl when she's done. But these women have to perform. Okay, when they're conducting a sex act, they're fulfilling this sick fantasy of the buyer. So they have to be able to perform. They have to be aware enough to be able to perform. So you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
While used to pacify the victims, it isn't quite as prolific in many areas as people would think. Now, one thing, and this may seem a little bit contradictory, one thing that we have seen is in the years that I've been looking at this with Guardian Group, one of the tactics that seems to be on the rise and much more prolific is this grooming, where you get the girl online, you meet her, you get her out on a date, and then she's brutally raped, often gang raped, and pumped full of drugs. And that's called the breaking phase. And it's so violent, it brings such a level of shame on the victim that it's hard for them to recover from. So while the long-term drug use may or may not be as common as people think, unfortunately, we're seeing this breaking phase really, really common, where that girl is pumped full of drugs, sexually, physically abused for days, to the point where she is completely broken and able to be manipulated by that trafficker. So the reason I bring that up for your audience too is, don't think of these pimps like when I grew up, Huggy Bear from Starsky and Hutch, right? You know, the informant, the kind of cool dude, you know, drives a cool car, wears a fur hat. You know, these pimps, these traffickers in America are some of the most violent, vile, selfish human beings on the planet. Sherry, I have way more respect for the adversaries that I fought against on this world in Al-Qaeda and ISIS than I do for these traffickers. Al-Qaeda and ISIS, many of those men believe ideologically in their cause. A lot of them are thugs. A lot of them are criminals. But a lot of them also truly believe in their ideology. These traffickers believe only in manipulation, control, and violence and greed, that women are put on this earth to make money for them. And it just, it really makes me upset, and I hope it makes your listeners upset.
And I'll tell you, the first time I watched I Am Jane Doe, I was really upset, and I watched it immediately, watched it again, and started taking notes. And if you ever talk to Eric Bauer, who was featured in that film, that's how I met him. I called him and I told him I was angry, and he said, good.
Yeah. But so, yes. And let's pivot off that, Sherry, because people should be angry, and there's a righteous anger that folks should have. But here's the thing. Okay. There is so much room to improve. Less than 1% of victims are ever identified. Less than 1% of pimps are ever prosecuted. Okay? Those are the numbers we're dealing with. So imagine if we get this public-private partnership going in a much more effective way, and we take that number from 1% to 2%, 2% to 4%, 4% to 8%. We start doubling exponentially the victims that are identified, the predators that are put behind bars. We can change the landscape of this crime in America. We really can. I mean, that's what I'm so excited about with Guardian Group. As effective as we are, and I'm hugely proud of what we've done and the metrics and the numbers that and the cases that we've supported through the years, but we're just scratching the surface. Yeah. There is so much more to do, and I'm telling you, there are some solutions that collectively our communities can crush this. We're not going to eliminate sexual abuse. We're not going to eliminate the sex industry, but we can stuff it back into these cockroach shadow corners where it belongs.
True. So true. Tell us about this class that you're offering our listeners.
Okay. Do you have a way to share this in writing somewhere?
I do. We're going to put it on our website, and I'm also going to list the movies that people want to know more about. It. Just watch these movies. It'll make you upset.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, if there's some donor out there or some producer, we've got about 80% of a documentary done that we shot 2 years ago, and what we're really excited and doing is taking a look at where the commercial sex industry was 2 years ago and where it is today, and we've got some really fascinating stories from parents and law enforcement and district attorneys and survivors and victims and even pimps. And where this has come, and I think people would be surprised. While we've made some advances over the last couple of years, there are a lot of things that we've actually fallen behind in. And an example is Arizona. You guys were crushing it years ago. There was some funding, there was some collaboration between the McCain Institute and some of the initiatives from Swanee Hunt and your task forces. And now it's not that Arizona is falling behind.
They took the funding away.
Yes, they took the funding away. And when we're talking about defunding the police, and let's forget the defunding the police. Let's just talk about budget cuts. Because of COVID and because of a number of things that are happening across America, there have to be budget cuts in America's cities. And you know what's getting cut is these special victims units, this funding to support the protection of the vulnerable. So this is even more reason to support these private entities, like what you're doing to raise awareness about this crime, what Guardian Group is doing to work by, through, and with law enforcement to combat it. So with that being said, one of the good things about COVID is it provided the time for me to sit down and take the classes that I've been doing in person and create an online course specifically for law enforcement. So we were able to build that, and we're offering that free course to law enforcement. And what I've also done then is we've pivoted the law enforcement one. We've taken out a few things that are kind of specific for law enforcement, and we're making this available for the community. So your listeners can access the online advanced course by accessing it at guardianlearningcenter.thinkific.com, blah, 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 blah. You'll have to pass it on. Okay. But we're going to make it available for all your listeners. There's a coupon code, LawMatters1030, and they can go through the process and purchase that course, and they will have access to it for the next couple weeks. And then we're going to release it on 1 August for $10 for people to purchase it as a little bit of a fundraiser and to cover our costs for hosting it. We also have a basic course on our Guardian Group website that people can find also. That's available. It's $5 for purchase, but I want to make this advanced course available to your listeners for free for now. And we really dig into the details. And when they're taking the course, they need to kind of place themselves in the shoes of law enforcement, because that's what the course is designed for. And all of the things that are stacked against law enforcement to be successful, and the complexity of this crime, and really coming away with, it's going to take all of us to just row a little bit harder to fight this thing.
Yes, absolutely it will. And I started to take the course. I had to stop because life got in the way, but I learned a lot. I learned that I didn't know as much as I thought I knew. And I'm here doing this all the time. I have interviewed so many people, the police department, Homeland Security, Craig from his group, Craig Sawyer, who has a group here in Arizona. And it's just, I'm always learning something. Every time I talk to you guys, that, you know, this is still happening, and it's a shame that it's happening. And I'm so happy that you're allowing people to learn by offering this course. And I'm going to have that course online with a list of the movies. People, if you think this isn't happening, these movies were based on reality. This isn't something that somebody in Hollywood made up. And it's unfortunate.
Well, Sherry, thanks for mentioning that, and interested to hear when you get through the rest of it. And that's a great point, because that's what we do at Guardian Group. That's all we do. We look at commercial sex trafficking, and we try to get the minors out of this crime by supporting law enforcement. So I will continue to update these courses, because this is all we do. This is what I study. I am no longer a counterterrorism expert, okay? I am a counter-trafficking expert, and I study this every single day. We try to stay up on all of the things that are working across the United States. If people have techniques and tactics and procedures that they're working with their task forces, please share them with us, and we'll continue to keep it updated as we go along. We also have a podcast that we had last year, and it's mostly me talking. There's other of our team from Guardian Group, but it's a couple hours long. And while maybe you and I aren't quite the podcast era, you know what I mean? A lot of people get their information that way. So we want to encourage them to go to our website, guardiangroup.org/podcast, and check that out. It's called Selling Girls in America. And we are beginning a second season where we have two survivors that are going to walk us through their stories from being assessed and recruited all the way to where they are today, surviving and thriving. And that's really what we want to do with our podcast, is highlight these survivors that have beat this thing and are moving on with their lives in incredible ways. So invite the listeners to go to our website and check all those different things out. They could spend hours learning about this crime and reach out to us at any point.
And if you have the opportunity, please tell your local government to not defund the police department. It's because of those funds being taken away that we don't have this task force anymore because it was defunded. And we need this task force to help conquer this horrible thing. All this information is going to be on the Law Matters 1030 website. And thank you for joining us today, Jeff. I really appreciate your knowledge and your help.
Thanks for having us, Sherry. This is terrific.
Okay. Shop local, stay safe, stay home, stay off the hill.